from the historic River Market in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, from the crystal blue waters of the Missouri River, it's Two Douchebags and a Microphone Podcast.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So let me see. Let's say I was offended by people being offended. Then would people being offended all the time would have to not be offended around me because I was offended by them being offended? I may never know.
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
May your grandmother always intrude your thoughts at the last minute while you are masturbating.
As much fun as an electric can opener to the scrotum, two douchebags and a microphone. Two douchebags and a microphone invade your ear holes and... Hey! Who took a dump in the cooler?
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe, or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri, to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter-mile radius.
Two ass bags and a box of Cheez-Its will be right back.
Bags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Rob, your brother, who is, what is he right now to Sealand, the little bitty?
He's a lord.
He's a lord, that's right, okay.
But he's working, he's gonna shoot for Baron.
For Baron, that's right. A few months ago.
Right now, he is lord.
A few months ago, two douchebags and a microphone reported about this, basically like a platform off the edge of England, and it's its own sovereign country, and anyhow, it's called Sealand. Rob's brother, Tom, right?
Tom, yeah.
Okay, Rob's brother, Tom. I want to make sure, I was pretty sure that was his name, but I want to make sure I had it right. Tom,
yeah,
went ahead and bothered to file some paperwork, and he is an official lord. To this nation. So
population of one.
Yes. And we were teasing around about it a little bit yesterday, and it was yesterday.
Yeah,
and,
it was last night.
Yeah,
which
we wanted to be
actually got put out this morning. I already listened.
Yeah, yep. I got it out really
quick.
It was
my birthday special.
That's why I got it out so quick. I wanted you to hear your birthday special.
Yeah.
So, we were teasing around. We wanted two douchebags and a microphone to be the official podcast of Sealand. So, the Lord of Sealand, Tom, his last name isn't Radford, is it? What's his last name?
No. We're not going to mention it.
Oh, okay.
But no, it's not the same as my last name.
Okay.
We are
Tom?
Technically half-brothers.
Okay. Tom, Rob's brother, is a lord of Sealand, and he's going for Baron. This is his response. So he is qualified to answer this question because we want to be the official podcast of Sealand. Dear Mr. Wallace.
And actually, the whole Sealand thing was your story.
Yeah, it was an article.
You started all this.
Yeah. And Tom took the time, Tom took the time to research this, made sure it was true,
oh, dude.
And then he became a lord of it by filing the right paperwork. And then Rob said something about his would you call it, his embassy?
His embassy.
His embassy here in America that Tom so graciously built for Sealand looked like a she shed, and I don't think Tom liked that very well, according for what I'm getting ready to read. So it will go like this. Dear Mr. Wallace,
well, I'll tell you right now, me and him have talked.
Okay.
I got my ass chewed out.
He did not care for that statement, needless to say. So here we go with this. Dear Mr. Wallace, it is to my understanding, when I listened to your last show, that you wondered about being an official podcast station for the Principality of Sealand. According to both the United States and the Sealand constitutions, you are allowed freedom of speech in both countries. Thank you for asking permission. It's an honor to all the people of Sealand that you have an interest in supporting our great nation. I have enjoyed listening to your podcast for quite some time, and will continue listening as long as Rob Rad refrains from insulting my building. It's not a she shed. I also would like to let Rob Rad and the listeners know that it was a count and countess title that my wife and I will be honored with next. A count and countess. It is in the works as we speak. I will keep you updated. Anyhow, E. Mar Labartis, Lord Thomas of Sealand.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
he put it all.
I'm on a theme Saturday. I'm probably going to theme Tuesday too. So yeah.
What a great rebuttal!
Oh, I love my brother. I love you, Tom.
We need to get him on the show.
That was awesome.
We got to get him on
the
show.
But I still call it a she shed.
That's you, not me. Tom,
I know,
that's
I know,
Rob
I know.
Rad, not me. I don't have a problem with your embassy. I think it looks fine.
I've got a feeling we will be the podcast of Sealand. But I'm still going to call it Sea Shed, man.
Anyhow, we are the official podcast of Sealand then. Because, as far as I know, we're the only podcast of Sealand. So, that would make us the official podcast of Sealand, basically, by default. But, anyhow, we are very happy to be a part of Sealand and Sealand to be a part of us. So, thank you, Sealand, very much. And I can't wait till they become a count and countess. And maybe you and I can do something to register our name and the podcast name there or something.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Hey, while we're at this,
okay,
with my family,
mm-hmm,
I want to give out to mine and Tom's Aunt Loretta.
Okay.
I talked to her this weekend. I should have mentioned it last night, but I didn't.
Oh, well, it was your birthday.
My mind. Yeah. She has actually listened to a couple of our shows.
Oh, nice.
So, shout out to Lee Summit, Missouri.
All right. Good old Lee Summit. We know Lee Summit well.
Yeah, my Aunt Loretta lives in Lee Summit. She's listened to a couple of shows. She plans on listening to more.
That's so cool. The southeastern section of Kansas City has been represented. Even though it's Lee Summit, it's its own city. It's a suburb of Kansas City. So we are very honored to have Lee Summit checking in with us. Thank you. Her name's Lorraine, is that it?
No, Loretta.
Loretta, okay.
Aunt Loretta.
Aunt Loretta, thank you. Oh, while we're at it, hi, Grandma Opal.
Yes, hi, Grandma Opal.
Hi, Jimmy, the greatest grandson ever. Dodge City,
Jimmy?
Kansas. Yeah, we'll talk. Anyhow, so thank you, Rob's aunt. You're awesome. Did she have any comment?
It was going kind of the way she figured it would.
With a name like Two Douchebags and a Microphone, right?
And being me.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Well, at least she wasn't shocked. I've got something for you, Rob. I found out about this last...
She was actually laughing.
That's cool. Good. We all need jokes. And actually, if you kind of notice, Rob, we're leaving most of the really crass stuff for the bits. When you and I are talking, we're not really saying anything that gross or dick jokes or anything. You know, our fodder, our talk between each other is fairly civilized and it may not be real educated talk, it may not be real intellectual talk, but it's real talk and it's not really nasty. So I think we're finding that happy balance of being risque in some areas and then other areas not. So, you know, until we start doing the hairy asshole Olympics again and then all things are lost. So,
things off.
So, I've got something for you, Rob. I wanted to get your, I don't think you know about it yet, but I want to get your opinion. Did you know that, you and I both listen to 101 The Fox, right?
Yes.
Do you know that Slacker is retiring? This is his last week, I believe.
I understand why.
Is he still sick?
I don't know, but I mean, I'm sure all the treatments he's had to go under and everything.
He made it back in remarkable time. I mean, he really did.
He did.
The thing I'm saying is this right here. I hope he is physically okay. I hope he's not sick, and I hope he gets to enjoy a long life of whatever he wants to do. We send our best to Slacker, and we wish him the best, and we hope he has the best of health the rest of his life. So it was just kind of concerning, the timing of it, after he bothered to come back, and then suddenly he just, retires. So
right. Well, Mark, honestly, I think it's kind of see that. Think about what kind of time you and I put into our little shit show here.
Yeah.
Imagine what he does on a major radio station.
Well, a lot of these.
His health issues, he probably can't do as much. So yeah, he's probably just going to retire.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see
just
that.
Say.
Okay, no.
My
opinion. That's better than what I was thinking. I hope that's all it is. So, okay, Slacker, we wish you the best. We love you. We hope you have a great retirement, a long retirement, too.
Love you, Slacker.
Yeah, we love you, man. And you're right, Rob. You know, everybody that I knew, and I knew a couple of people that did morning shows, and the thing is they put a lot of time into these shows that people don't see.
More than just the 3 or 4 hours you listen to them.
If the show starts at 6, most likely they got there at 4:30.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, there's just so much to do and so much to go over and so much to read and all that stuff. And people don't realize that it is a lot of work. And I mean, like you said, just this podcast, I'm all the time scouring stories, coming up with new ideas. I think everyone probably noticed the last podcast last night. If you listen to it, we have new bits. We have about 20 new bits. Now, those 20 new bits, they didn't do themselves. It took a lot of hours to do them. You know, it took a lot of thought.
And to be honest, these are all Mark. Me and Mark have not had time for me to do new ones.
You see, and this is where it's very vital and important that I get Rob his equipment, which is not going to be that much longer, because I'm just going to make it down there. That's all there is to it. I'm going to make it down there.
Just saying, I need 2 weeks' notice.
I will. I'll give you 2 weeks' notice.
Right.
I mean, look, even if I'm just coming by one evening to give you your equipment and it's just a long road trip, so be it. That's fine.
Yeah, well, we got to get set up. You got to show me how to use it.
Yeah, it's going to have to... Yeah, I've already thought of that. It's going to have to be a time when you and I both have a couple of days off. The equipment is real easy to use. I guarantee you, you'll have it mastered in no time. So don't freak out.
Oh, yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, it will. I mean, believe me, if you can cut angles on metal, you can do this. You can do this software. So.
I don't know. I have a hard time with my iPhone.
Well, this is a little bit different.
That's because it's an iPhone.
I was getting ready to mention that.
It's a phone, not an actual. Yeah.
This is actual software that is run off of a PC, but in your case, it'll be a Chromebook. So, and it's going to be designed, it's lightweight, so you can just set it up anywhere if you need to. So, it's going to be a good thing. So, all right. Anyhow, I just want to get your thought on Slacker, and we hope he's okay. We hope he does well. So, I don't know who's going to be taking his spot. I wonder if it's going to be Moose, formerly 98 on the Rock. Moose filled in the afternoon because Sparks went to morning for Slacker when Slacker left when he was ill. Okay?
Yeah, see, I don't have 98.9 tuned in yet. I should be able to get it. I just haven't tried it.
Moose was cut I don't know how long ago. I don't listen to 98.9 hardly ever anymore. I really don't like the... I don't like the station that well. I don't like their playlist that well. But that's neither here nor there. So somewhere Moose got cut, the afternoon guy. Or no, he was a early afternoon guy. I think he came in right after Johnny Dare. And he was cut somewhere along the lines there because, well, now Odyssey, their owner, their parent owner, was all their debt was just bought up by George Soros. Yeah. So we can only imagine the broadcasting stuff that's going there.
You're bringing in politics?
No, I'm telling you what happened. Oh, Odyssey.
You said George Soros.
Yes. Odyssey.
Right.
Odyssey okay. filed for bankruptcy. Odyssey is the owner of The Rock and probably about 200 other stations. George Soros bought up all their debt. He is going to be owning Odyssey in these 200 stations. So, anyhow, back when they were struggling, they had a lot of cuts, like all the other radio corporations, conglomerates did, because it's not the big sexy thing anymore. It doesn't make the money that it used to, right? Okay. Somewhere Moose was cut because I wasn't listening. I don't know. So all of a sudden, he appeared in the afternoon for Sparks, who went to the morning for Slacker, who was off on an illness. So I don't
know.
I hope they get Moose. I thought Moose did a great job. He sounded great on the radio like he always did. So I hope he comes back and he is their new afternoon guy. So we'll
yeah,
see.
When I heard him while Slacker was gone,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they were great. Moose did great in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're hoping Moose lands that spot.
I think they could survive.
Yeah. So anyhow, as far as what happens to Odyssey, since George Soros is such a liberal, I imagine at least part of those stations are going to be doing his type of radio. That would probably be the idea behind buying all their debt. So stay tuned on that. Anyhow. So, but I don't want to get too political because we are dick jokes. We admittedly are dick jokes, and we very happily are dick jokes. So, Skip Bayless, his famous Andy Reid sold his soul, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and anyhow, everyone's like, you know, the guy's a fucking idiot. Andy Reid said he came over there and he wasn't like fucking bitching out Andy Reid. He said, "Put me in, I want to score," is what he said. That's what Andy Reid said he said. So, Skippy Bayless is, and also I think the New York Post did an article too. Anyhow, it's just, what it is sheer speculation. And they would love for there to be a divide in the dynasty. So they're going to promote shit like this and speak shit like this because they don't want Kansas City to keep winning. It's that simple. They don't want us up there. They want the Giants or the Cowboys up there. They don't want us up there. So all of this propaganda that's like spewing out of their fucking pie holes is just garbage. There obviously is not a problem between Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. They would love for there to be a problem, and they would love for Travis Kelce to not play with us anymore. But that's not going to happen, because I personally believe Andy Reid, because I think Andy Reid has enough nuts that this right here. If Travis Kelce did do that, he took care of it, but not in front of everybody, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say your work, right? And you screw something up really bad, okay? And your boss is pretty mad. He thought you should have thought better. You should have taken your time, right? Does your boss come out there and scream at you in front of everybody? Or does he go, Rob, will you meet me in my office here in 10 minutes, please? Yeah, sure. You know, and then you're like, oh, fuck. Then you go in there. He's like, hey, sit down, you know, and then, you know. And then he'll be like, hey, this is what's going on. I'm concerned about this. I don't like this happening. Right, okay? He doesn't do it in front of everybody, and nor does he tell you what he says to him, right? Like he uses...
Well, just for the record, my boss would get me to the side, and I'd talk with him.
The same here. There's protocol. You don't just scream at somebody out, and you don't say what you said to them. That is just leading to mistrust. If Andy Reid said, you know, Travis, I don't appreciate what you talked to me. If you do it again, I'm fucking cutting you. And then he went around and told everybody what he said. That would not go over very well. It'd be like, Coach, listen, man, you told me that. Did you have to tell the whole fucking world? So, it was handled no matter what happened. Whether it's exactly what Andy Reid said about put me in, Coach, you know, I just went about it wrong or whatever. Or if it was something a little bit more serious, obviously Coach Reid took care of it and everything is okay. So anyhow, New York, Skippy Bayless, all you fucks, stop. It's not working. So, Rob, before we go to our first break, we turn to you. Do you have something you want to speak of?
Yes, I do.
I kind of figured you did. The floor is yours.
What the hell did you say?
I still have remnants of my cold, but I am on antibiotics
now. Right here.
Okay.
Okay, so anybody that's been listening knows I've been following the Alec Baldwin incident.
Oh, yeah.
On the movie set of Rush. Arrest?
Uh-huh.
Well, I have another update.
Right on.
The jury convicted a movie weapons supervisor of involuntary manslaughter in the fatal shooting of a cinematographer by actor Alec Baldwin during the rehearsal on the set of the Western movie Rust. The verdict against movie armor Hannah Gutierrez Reed assigns new blame in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins in October 2021 after an assistant director last year pleaded no contest to negligent handling of the firearm.
Mm-hmm.
Baldwin, the lead actor and co-producer on Rust, was indicted by a grand jury in January on a charge of involuntary manslaughter. Mm-hmm. He was pointing a gun at Hutchins on a movie set outside Santa Fe, New Mexico, when the gun went off, killing her and wounding director Joel Souza.
Uh-huh. Okay, I got a question. So, the way I'm reading into this, Rob, is they're saying that he was fucking around with the gun, and that's what happened. He wasn't actually doing part of the script, right?
Right.
Which would make that that would make that involuntary manslaughter. That's the definition. So I get why they're doing this.
But this trial could change that.
Okay.
The involuntary manslaughter charge against Kateris Reed carries a maximum penalty of 18 months in prison and $5,000 fine. $5,000 fine.
Let's face he's never going to go to prison. We know this. He has too much money to go to prison, and that's the way it works in America.
This is kind of a long story, and I was reading at work, and I...
Okay.
But no, it goes on to say that, and I'm just going to put this in my own words.
Okay.
By this happening, it could take part of the blame off him, because somewhere in the story it mentions how the reason why they found her guilty was because she brought live bullets onto the set.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, here we go. The defense this is a long ways down. That's why I said I read the whole thing. It's like, could write all down.
Well, I mean, you got to determine what you want to talk about on the air at night, you know, and if you don't think it's pertinent, you just skip over it, right? So go ahead. Go ahead to what part you're going to.
Okay, well, the defense, okay, this ain't saying what I thought it was going to say. But it does say the defense cast doubt on the relevance of photographs of ammunition, noting FBI testimony that live rounds can't be fully distinguished from dummy ones on site.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
I'll tell you where to find this. This story is on the Associated Press.
Okay, but here's... Okay, Rob, what I'm doing is I'm playing the other side here. Okay.
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with if Alec Baldwin, if this is true, was just fucking around with a gun and playing around. I don't think it has anything to do with it. To me, that's still negligent. And that led to her death.
Jacking around.
Yes. I don't think it has any bearing.
You have to take into consideration is if he truly thought that those were dummy rounds.
But still, he was still fucking around with a gun when he didn't have to, and he still had it pointed at the lady.
But it was a prop gun.
Yes, I know.
Supposed to be a prop gun.
But
no live round.
I get it. But let's say I was in a Tonka truck.
Now, come on, this is Alec Baldwin we're talking about.
Yeah. So, anyhow, okay.
Jackass.
You know what? There's still too much going on in this case. We're not going to know how it's going to come out.
Right. Well, I'm going to keep this updated.
Yeah. So, anyhow, let's take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell everybody how they get free $1 burgers from Wendy's. Not free $1 burgers. Actually, $1 burgers from Wendy's the rest of the month. That sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no. It's the island of horrible jokes.
I can't take my dog to the lake. The ducks keep attacking him. That's what I get for having a purebred dog.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Hi all, this is Mark here. I'm usually the one telling you what to eat during an apocalypse. Well, this time I decided to go the other way. You ever consider just going to ground zero and saying, fuck it? Do you really want to be the guy running around looking for radioactive deer, guessing whether water is not contaminated or not? No food, no shelter, no nothing. Oh no, there's a strong argument that says, you know what? Let's just go to Crown Zero and see what's for us after. Just a thought.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are doing all televised and radio games of the NFL this year.
We're just like a really funny radio show with all the funny taken out.
Since we haven't a budget here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, here's a random guy on the street to promote our show.
Hi everybody, I'm Freddy. I love listening to Two Douchebags and a Microphone, and I get all my pertinent information from them. They are incredible, and I love them so.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Okay. If I borrow money from a pessimist, would they expect to not get it back? I may never know.
All aware of the Amber Alert, right? Well, get rid of your disinfectants and rubber bedspreads, kids. It's the all-new Amber Heard Alert System. This fantastic early warning device helps one stay dry and rid of all those annoying mattress invoices. Simply hook up to child under 6 or psychopath and wait for the running water sound. This clever machine has 3 distinct settings: Babbling Brook, Ocean Waves, and Roaring River for those close calls. Order today and get a free Cinnabon Renews It cartridge.
And we are back. Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Okay. Like I said, I promised before, I'm going to tell everybody how they can score dollar burgers at Wendy's. I think it's for a month, but we'll find out here. After a surge in backlash, Wendy's is giving customers a slam dunk deal. The fast food chain is dishing out deals for March Madness. Okay, so it's through March Madness. And basketball fans and burger lovers alike can score a $1 Dave single or a $2 Dave double anytime from now through April 10th by checking, actually more than a month, by checking the offers tab in the Wendy's app. The announcement comes days after Wendy's announced they would be testing a dynamic pricing model where the cost of menu items could fluctuate based on demand. Wendy's CEO Kirk Tanner announced the new system on a call with investors, noting that they will invest $20 million in high-tech menu boards that will be able to update prices in real time. That sparked stories that said Wendy's could raise prices during lunch, due to surge pricing increases. And the cost, the surge pricing originated like in Uber and Lyft. So if you're getting an Uber at 5 in the morning, it's not going to be dynamic pricing, right? Because nobody else is, they're all fighting for your business at this point. The people are still awake. If it's 3 in the afternoon, like people are getting off work and need a ride home or whatever, the price in Uber and Lyft goes way up. And that's called dynamic pricing. It's like per demand.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. It's per demand.
Price gouging.
And although Wendy's is denying it, everybody thought that because they're going to invest in these new boards, and it could change that during lunch the price would surge up because they have 30 people in line. But they say that's not going to happen, and now they're giving away free burgers, so I don't know. I mean, until April 10th. So go to your app, download your Wendy's app, and get your free burger every day if you want. Well, not free, but a $1 burger or $2 burger. So that's not a bad deal. Ace Frehley, right? Right, Rob? Great?
Oh, yes, yes. Love it.
Yep. New album? Great. Well, he did very well in the charts with it. Did you know that?
Yes.
Oh, you did know that. Okay.
I seen that, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm getting ready to read it out. So.
Go for it.
All right. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee and guitar legend Ace Frehley has topped both the hard music and hard rock album charts with his new album, 10,000 Volts. Additionally, the album comes in at number 2 on the independent chart, number 3 on the internet albums chart, number 4 on the vinyl album sales. I didn't even know they sold vinyl on new stuff anymore. And current album sales charts. The album has also charted internationally, debuting at number 1 in Sweden, the physical album chart, number 13 in Switzerland, number 13 on the UK independent album Breakers chart, and number 21 on the German album chart, with more to come. 10,000 Volts was released on February 23rd via MNRK Heavy, which is that's the record company label, and has sold more in the first week of release than his last studio album in 2018, Spaceman, altogether. 10,000 Volts was produced and co-written by Ace and Steve Brown, and the uncontainable energy on the 11 tracks showcases some of Ace's best works since the 78 solo album. There were 20 vinyl variants available on this project in addition to the CD and digital versions. Due to overwhelming demand from Ace's fans stateside, European vinyl variants are also now available in American market. The variants feature unique and visually stunning vinyl copies and colors. And anyhow, they have Metal Gem Locker Splatter, Dragon's Den, and Orange Tabby as some of their designs. So, anyhow, pretty cool. Pretty cool for Ace fans,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I know those charts don't sound like very much, but really, that is quite an accomplishment in today's environment, and especially today's environment to old rock and old metal and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
To be accepted that widely. Let me put it in perspective. Did you hear anything about Mick's album? No. Is it anywhere? No. Well, Ace's album's great. Mick's album is fair. There's not enough of an audience left where a fair album sells 100,000. In the 80s...
I wished I would have saved that story. I didn't read it, but I ran across a story this morning that said Mick's album is top Ace's.
It has? Hang on.
I don't know. Like I said, I did not get a chance to actually read the story, and I didn't save it. It's on the internet, man.
On the internet.
So I believe yours over this one.
I think that came from Metal Edge.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I said, I didn't save it.
You got a story to go to while I look up Other Side of Mars?
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to put an end. I'm going back to the Chiefs.
Okay.
Rumors have circulated and even made headlines that a Kansas City Chiefs fan buried the team's flag under the Allegiant Stadium 7 years ago when the structure was built.
Uh-huh.
Since 2017, the rumors kept Chiefs fans and others wondering if it could be true. And now the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and playing at the Allegiant Stadium, the interest has peaked. Okay. KLAS-TV-8 News Now Sports Director Chris Matthews decided it was time to get to the bottom of the bizarre story, and he did. Oh, wow. It started with two diehard Chiefs fans who were helping with the construction of the future home of the Los Angeles Raiders. Which I remember. It was all over the internet.
Oh, yeah. It was a big meme.
On Facebook. Chris Schreiser took a picture of Gerard DaCosta holding the Chiefs flag.
Uh-huh.
DaCosta was the main one in on it.
Uh-huh.
He's a fantastic Chiefs fan. He loves the Chiefs, said local labor union Tommy White. He's been a longtime fan of the Chiefs. Then they got into where they posted the picture.
Uh-huh.
The two Raiders rivals were able to take their prank to an epic proportions that continue to make headlines even to this week. White was able to put an end to the hoax.
So he didn't. He didn't bury it.
He oversaw the construction of the stadium, and he contacted DaCosta and asked for the flag. DaCosta gave it to him, proving it had not been buried, and admitting it was a hoax.
It was a good one, because everybody believed it.
Sorry, Kansas City.
No. Here's the deal. We won a Super Bowl on their home field. They can never live that down. Never live that down. You know where they normally paint the Raiders? They painted over it and they painted the Chiefs. Yes. By the way,
but
I had...
Yes, that flag did not get buried under Allegiant Stadium.
What a good article, Rob. Thank you. Well, there goes that one. You know what? I don't necessarily care, like I said. The deal is this right here. If you're looking to get the Raiders really good, they've already been got. First off, they painted over the Raiders logo and they put a Chiefs logo. And second off, we won the Super Bowl on their field.
Yes.
So before they can even get near or even sniff a Super Bowl, we already won one on their field. So if you're looking about getting them, they've already been got. So, okay. There's no way that Mick Mars could sell more albums than Ace Frehley, because he's still looking for a record deal to release the album.
Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay, here it says right here, I've got a Metal Injection. As Motley Crue gears up to release new music, so is former guitarist Mick Mars. In an interview with Rolling Stone, Mars has unveiled his debut solo album to be titled Another Side of Mars. Mars is currently seeking out a record label to drop the album, which was described by Rolling Stone author Andy Green as darker and more aggressive than anything in the Crue catalog. No, he's wrong. It could have been darker and more aggressive, but they ended that. They put that new rock feeling in it, and it just didn't do it. But anyhow, there were a couple of good songs on it, but far and large, it was mediocre. So anyhow, all right. You know what? Oreo has two new flavors, Rob.
Really?
Yep. I figure you'd be more ecstatic than that. We got new Oreos to chomp on, dude.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's cool. I was reading this other story.
Oh, okay.
I just now ran across.
Okay. Oreo already introduced three new flavors at the start of the new year, but the brand wasn't done dropping cookies. On February 27th, the sandwich cookie company introduced two more additions to its crunchy confections, dirt cake and tiramisu thins. Dirt cake, a nostalgic favorite, is being added to the portfolio for a limited time while Taramasuthins are getting a permanent spot in the lineup. Both will hit grocery stores shelves March 4th. And here is all the details. Oreo Dirt Cake Chocolate Sandwich Cookies are the company's take on the nostalgic mud pie dessert that reminds people of childhood. On the outside, it features a classic chocolate cookie with gummy worm inspired sprinkles on top. And on the inside, it's got a layer of brownie-flavored cream atop a layer of chocolate cream with Oreo's wafer crunch. The limited edition cookie will be available nationwide while supplies last. The tiramisu is going to be part of their regular entourage of cookies, and it's thin, and it's going to taste like tiramisu. So those are your two new cookies. So, Rob, you had a story you just found or something?
No, it's going to be next time. I got to have time to keep, I got to, like I said, I was just getting into it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, did you know,
I'm actually writing it down so I can remember where to find it.
Okay. Well, Coffee Mate, right? You know Coffee Mate, it has the creamers.
Yeah.
Okay. And you put the creamers in your coffee, right? And makes it taste a little bit better for a lot of people. Some people don't like them. I personally like them. I don't like the real sweet ones. I just like more like a French vanilla or a cream or something like that. But they have all different types of flavors, and people buy them. And when they're brewing their coffee at home, they add the creamer to make it taste a little bit more like a, I don't know, a coffee house coffee or something, right?
Yeah.
Well, there is a new Coffee Mate, but it's not for coffee. It is for sodas, like Dr. Pepper.
Really?
It's called Coffee Mate Dirty Soda. The internet has influenced some pretty crazy combinations over the years, but the new viral dirty soda trend has many soda drinkers jazzing up their afternoon Coke with unexpected ingredients like coconut, lime, and cream. The trend has taken on many forms, but at its core, the recipe is carbonated soda with a splash of creamer, flavored syrups, and occasionally an addition of fruit. Even our favorite Oklahoma-based mix and match drink, Stop Sonic, has taken up the torch, giving customers the option to make it dirty with the addition of coconut lime cream combo for their favorite Route 44. So you go into Sonic right now and get a 44 Dr. Pepper or a 44 Coca-Cola, and then say make it dirty, and they'll throw the other ingredients in it, the lime and all that. Now the country's oldest soft drink, Texas-born Dr. Pepper, has teamed up with Coffee Mate Creamer so folks can try this unconventional recipe at home. The new Coffee Mate Dirty Soda Coconut Lime Flavored Creamer combines note of coconut and zesty lime, ready to pour straight over a glass of Dr. Pepper on ice. Seriously. Though it may sound a bit strange, the new dirty soda trend has hundreds of millions of fans vouching that this crisp, creamy treat deserves all the attention it's getting. Imagine the creaminess of a thinner ice cream float with a little pizzazz being Dr. Pepper's iconic 23 flavors. That sounds good to me. I like floats.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that being a little bit lighter and a little bit more, I don't know, soda-based? I think it'd be excellent. Coffee Mate is embracing exploration of any time of day, says Lorenzo Apuro, Nestle Vice President of Brand Marketing for the Beverage Division of the business unit. We're excited to collaborate with Dr. Pepper, merging with the worlds of coffee creamer and soda, making it easy for the viral dirty soda trend that has taken the world by storm. So how about that, Rob?
That sounds good.
Hey, I'll tell you what, when I come down to give you your equipment, I'll bring the makings for dirty sodas. We'll make dirty sodas up, okay?
All right.
Yeah, we'll make dirty sodas up and fucking do a podcast. Hell yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So... So let's go ahead and
gotta make sure the equipment's working.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm downloading all the software right now, so I'm going to give it a trial run because unfortunately, I read here lately that a Chromebook doesn't like to run the Audacity software that well. So I'm gonna be testing it first before I waste, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and if not, then I'll find a tablet or something that works for you. I'll get something. It'll work right. out. Okay. So let's take our second break, and we're gonna come back with more stuff. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back, people.
Oh, Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there, don't worry, I have a clown nose.
Oh, no! That drunk guy just hit my child!
It's okay, I have a clown nose.
Clown nose, just put one on and you can do anything. Want to run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam, everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
If you were a spice, you would be flour.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Let's see. If I identify as a dog and I start wandering around the block without a collar on, could animal control come by and pick me up? I may never know.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Dishwalla has the top 10 spots on Billboard Hot 100.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
May, your 5-year-old neighbor have all their violin lessons during all of your hangovers.
Once again, it's time for Ramblings of a Madman.
I believe Congress needs to synchronize tap dance for 20 minutes before each session. That needs to happen.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
I would roast you. But my mom told me to not burn trash.
I'm just reading something during break here. Greg Olsen, you know, the commentator, former football player.
Yeah.
I think he's on Fox. He's trending all over the internet right now because people just found out that he's part of a Miami rap song.
Really?
Yeah. And so, like, I guess everybody's, like, looking up who this Greg Olsen guy is. So, anyhow, I thought it was pretty funny. So, Rob, you got something you want to go into, or?
would you mind me going a little political here?
No, I don't care. Look, I mean, we can clean it up every now and then, yes. So go right on ahead,
well,
Rob.
No. This is, okay, you know Emmanuel Cleaver.
Yeah, he's a representative for
yeah,
this district.
He is a U.S. representative.
He's a former
Emmanuel
mayor.
Cleaver.
He's a former mayor of Kansas City, and now he's a representative.
Former mayor of Kansas City. A lot of people do not agree with him.
Yeah, and I'm one of them sometimes. Yes. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Mark, after I was I read his story.
Uh-huh.
I gotta side with him on this one, dude.
Hey, he's not all bad. I do like him. I just don't agree with him on everything, but that I don't agree with anybody on everything, so that's just the way it is. Anyhow, go ahead.
Right, okay. Well, this one's kind of, it's getting to be kind of an important thing, and he's trying to get people to do something about it, is what it's
I think he's a good, strong Christian guy that it tries to do what he thinks right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So,
U.S. Representative Manuel Cleaver II is reintroducing a bill that would withhold 1 month's pay from every member of Congress for each month a mass shooting occurs in the United States.
Wow. Yeah. Go on.
See where I'm going here?
I know where you're going with this, and actually, I didn't know that came back up again. But go ahead.
Cleaver, a Democrat, first filed his No Pay Until Peace Act in May 2022. He said he's reintroducing the bill after 80 mass shootings have impacted the nation. Three of those mass shootings took place in Cleaver's own district, Missouri District 5. Six people were shot and injured at Crown Center on January 18th.
Yep.
Approximately 2,000 people were shot following the Chiefs Super Bowl rally.
Oh, this Crown Center to 14th. Crown Center to where the Chiefs parade was at, or where, or to Union Station, is not even an eighth of a mile away.
Right, right, right.
Yes.
An independent police officer and civil process server lost their lives, and two other officers were injured just last week.
They were serving eviction papers. The guy was like 69 years old, I think. I think his last name was like Avery. He was just a fucked up old man that that probably had nothing to lose, and it sucks. It sucks that good people, you know, the process server just doing his job, and the cop ran in while everybody was running out. When he heard shots, the police officer was a hero. He ran in to defend the process server, and he got shot and killed. And that's part of my problem with a lot of this district and the way that the way that they treat cops, and then the way we won't we don't have enough protection, and it's bullshit.
You're right.
You know, we're worried about the World Cup. Let like 20 people from another country get shot and see how fucking well that goes over. That little bit I did about Kansas City, I'm not fucking joking. We're making Chicago look like a little pussy. This is bullshit that we have to live with this, and it's bullshit that these people let us down all the fucking time. They need to get this thing figured out, and they need to get it figured out right now. Anyhow, go ahead, Rob.
Well, he goes on to say, whether it's kids in classrooms, believers in their place of worship, or families at the local grocery store or community parade, it's become abundantly clear that no amount of death or trauma will push far-right politicians to take the action necessary to address America's horrific gun violence epidemic. But maybe losing a paycheck or two will.
That's the only thing that motivates those politicians. Let's be honest. The only thing that motivates these fuckers up there is money. That's the only reason they're there. They don't give a shit about us. Okay, I've got something for you, Rob, here, real quick, if you'll let me interject.
I was going to stop this right there.
Okay.
But I just want to say, my opinion, I totally agree with him.
I do too.
If they want to sit up there and not do nothing about it, let's make them do something about it.
Yeah, you take their money away.
Don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong.
Go ahead.
Guns can be a good thing.
I'm not against guns.
I'm against stupid people.
Okay. Along those lines,
I'm against stupid people.
Listen to this. I wasn't going to bring this up, but some very dear friends of ours, Val and I, he's having a lot of health issues. And he had some very serious health issues the other night. He had to go to a hospital. I could mention this hospital, but I'm not going to. They had armed guards at every station because we no longer have nut houses. We don't have insane asylums or mental health institutions. They all get thrown in hospitals, and then they get released. We have absolutely absolutely no plan on mental health at all, and nothing foresee in the future. And we have a bunch of wackos walking around with guns.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they said that there was people screaming all night, and they literally had armed guards walking people in and out of the damn hospital.
Okay, well, now I feel bad for bringing this subject up.
No. It need to be brought up. And anyhow, I'm telling you, this right here, the wall.
No.
Okay. It's a fictional soft drink that appears in the popular video game series Fallout.
Okay, well then, yeah, I definitely don't know it.
Okay, the drink is a staple of the game's post-apocalyptic world and is often used as a symbol of the game's retro-futuristic aesthetic. While Nuka-Cola is not a real beverage, and its history and lore within the gaming community. Well, now, guess what? You can get Nuka-Cola for real. Jones Sodas have introduced the new Nuka-Cola. Nuka Victory Cola is what it's called, and it's available if you can get it. Right now it's sold out. It's sold out online and it's sold out at all stores. You cannot get any Nuka Victory Cola right now. But Jones plans on having it around for a while. So if you're so inclined and care about Nuka-Cola because you're a Mortal Kombat guy or whatever, you can get it. You're probably just going to have to wait a little bit because it's all sold out right now. They have to make more of it. So, Rob, did you know that deodorant sales are up, like, significantly, like 60%?
That's a good thing.
No, it is a good thing. You know why?
Why?
People are going back to the office. While they were at home, they probably weren't cleaning themselves. They're probably waking. They might have been brushing their teeth or something, but yeah, they weren't taking a shower every morning like they normally do. They're sitting around in their PJs and doing the webcam thing and just showing your face. So the Trend Apparel and Unilever's third quarter earnings released Thursday. The personal care segment grew by 10%. And it was driven by high volume of deodorant sales. The maker of Dove, Axe, and several antiperspirants said that is the reason the deodorant department is the reason that they're up 10% right now. And they speculate that the reason is because people are going back to work in offices and they have to smell good again. So, therefore, deodorant sales are up. And like you said, Rob, that's a good thing. I'm not damning it, that's for sure.
Actually, once again, thank you, COVID.
I got another one here that I would like to get to because we haven't got to anything here. We've been doing so much other stuff that there's some stuff here. There's this thing going around called a blue avatar hire process, Rob. And that's
never heard of it. Okay. I have not heard of that.
they portray you as a blue avatar and put you in different situations. People are complaining about it because they're just going for a dishwashing job, and they get this blue avatar bullshit, and it ruins their interview because they're like not accustomed to it. Step aside, the new version of avatars is a blue avatar. It's becoming famous. If you, becoming famous.
I love the movie.
Yes, it was a great movie. Anyhow, if you apply to one of the several large corporations today, you might see a blue-gray guy that looks like Walmart's version of Disney's wide-eyed style of animation. No, it's not a company mascot. It's actually part of your evaluation. The blue avatars are part of a long and confusing personality quiz in the hiring process at a handful of big companies. Many applicants find their presence not only bizarre, but also a bit insulting. The blue people are a courtesy of Pedorox AI, which boasts several billion-dollar companies as clients, including McDonald's, Wendy's, Citizens, and more. It's worth noting that not all the clients in Pandorox AI use a personality test feature, as different spokespeople from Citizens, 3M, and CVS Health all confirm. Still, many have taken to social media to express their confusion as to why this extra hoop, a long, bizarre personality test, is being placed in front of the applicants, considering many of the same companies, they're complaining about staffing shortages and shortages of people applying in general. So they're wondering how come they're making it so confusing and hard to hire because of these blue avatar deals. Getting a dishwashing job at Olive Garden now requires a personality test from an AI company where you respond to more than 60 slides featuring a blue alien called Ash, tweets Emmanuel Mayberg, who first reported on said quiz on a larger price for 404 Media. Already strung out and cynical about the state of work, employees and job applicants found these types of assessments to be the final nail in the coffin. Although economists maintain that we're in a tight job market, the hunt is longer and trickier than it used to be, in a part because of the quizzes and the interviews and the avatars that they use now. And so their main complaint is this right here. They say, let's say you go decide to apply for a job at Olive Garden. One of the first things you'll see is an AI chatbot named Olivia, named after and using the likeness of Paradox's founder, Fiance. So the owner of Paradox's AI, this Olivia looks just like his fiance. After answering a couple of screening questions, you'll get a pop-up for the personality assessment illustrated with weird blue humanoids. The personality quiz itself will tell you there's not one right answer, but to look at the picture, it either clicked me or not clicked me. It's a depiction of a blue avatar describes how you might act or feel. You'll see a bunch of slides like this featuring the blue avatars in situations like grabbing pizza before others partake or engaging in artistic endeavors. The process culminates with the AI system telling you your big five personality traits. How many commented on Mayberg's tweet to discuss this is quite a few people. All of them were job applicants or appeared to be. Some suggest not being honest on the tests is what they're looking for. And they say that everything that you use there can be used against you, although they say it won't. So the thing that they're saying here, Rob, and I think you caught it already, is
yeah.
You're dishwashing. You're applying for a dishwashing job. Why do you have to go through an hour of some blue avatar asking you, there's a box of pizza with four people around it. Are you going to be the first to grab a slice, or are you letting everyone else get one first? You see?
I understand that.
Now, if you're one to grab one of the ones first, are they going to all of a sudden deny you? Because they think like you're a type A personality or something, and you may rub the other ones the wrong way? Is that it? I mean, I don't know.
To be honest?
Yeah.
My answer is, I'm one of the ones that go last.
I'm usually in the middle. I'll let a couple of people do it. And then the ones that are like real cautious, I'll get in front of them because I don't want to wait that long to grab a piece of pizza. But I will let someone else grab it first. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
But I'm not the last one. I'm usually never the last one. I'll let a couple other people do it. Then I'm like, okay, everyone else seems reluctant, so now I'll jump in and keep it going. That's kind of the way I look at it. So anyhow, Rob, you got anything? We're going a little bit over, but do you give a shit?
Nah, I don't care. As long as I get rid of this. Oh, there it is.
All right.
This comes off American Memory Lane.
Oh, a new website.
Actually, I shouldn't have even mentioned that.
Oh. Okay, we scratched that.
Eric Haas Cartwright was a beloved character on the popular television show Bonanza.
Yep.
Bonanza aired for 14 consecutive seasons from NBC from 1959 to 1973.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who was around in the 1960s saw at least one episode of the show Bonanza. Bonanza was synonymous with that era. The series featured a Western family in Nevada by the name of Cartwright. The episodes took place on the Cartwright Ranch and followed the family as they navigated the ups and downs of life in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's where this story's going.
Okay.
Haas, Dan Blocker, was the actor who played ever-popular Eric Haas Cartwright, one of the sons who helped run the ranch.
Haas was one of everybody's favorite character anyhow.
Oh, yeah, he was great, man.
He's just like the big lovable guy, you know?
Yeah, he was. He was the big teddy bear.
Yeah.
In 1963, Dan Blocker decided to play off the show's popularity, and he opened a Western-style steakhouse by the same name.
Haas?
First Bonanza Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah, I remember them. Yeah.
Was opened in Westport, Connecticut under the Bonanza Sirloin Pit.
Is there any left or not?
No, I don't think there is.
Okay.
A few years later, in 1966, Sam Blocker sold the restaurant and a few more he had opened to Sam Wiley and his brother Charles. The Wiley brothers renamed the chain Bonanza Steakhouse.
Cool.
During the late 1960s, the two men named Dan Lasseter and Norm Weiss got into the game. They saw how much the chain had taken off, and in particular, how popular the idea of this steakhouse restaurant had become.
Cool.
See, this led on more than what I was going to go into.
Oh.
So what I'm going to tell you is it breaks down.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
A couple of them come together, and they open Bonanza, and they called Ponderosa.
No, that's what I was getting ready to ask. Was
yeah, Bonanza and Ponderosa.
And here's why I asked that, Rob. Really quick. Now think about this. Okay, the opening of Bonanza. Okay, it's getting ready to come on, and it shows Lauren Green, I believe, on the first right. And then it shows the Ponderosa burning. is a map
right.
of the Ponderosa. And then I was going to ask you, they have a Ponderosa Steakhouse the same time as Bonanza if they were affiliated. And it sounds like they were.
Well, they ended up becoming competition.
Oh. So did Ponderosa name it after, well, kind of tongue-in-cheek?
From the Bonanza and one from Ponderosa.
Uh-huh.
Lasser and Weiss.
Yeah.
We're not too happy. Lasser and Weiss were not too happy about the theft of the original idea that was their steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the remainder of the 1960s and 70s, the two steakhouses found themselves in fierce competition. In 1989, Bonanza has grown to 600 locations worldwide.
Yeah, they were huge at one point. They were in every town and big city.
And Ponderosa had grown to over 700.
Wow.
In 1979, Dan Lasser and Norman Weiss came to their senses and merged under Metro Media Family Steakhouses. Or Homestyle Dining.
Did
LLC.
They own Ted's Steakhouse or Montana's? Ted Montana's or something like that?
I didn't know nothing about that.
I think so, but anyhow, go ahead.
This is just about Bonanza and Ponderosa, how they merged.
Okay, and I think Montana Steakhouse was a part of that merger too, but that article wouldn't say anything about it because it has nothing to do with this story. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. But yeah, and then there was the decline of the steakhouse.
And now the Golden Corrals are going bye-bye. I mean, they're not popular anymore. I mean, people...
Oh, yeah. We lost our Golden Corral down here.
Wow. The whole idea of a cheaper steak just doesn't turn people on anymore. They'd rather pay a little bit more and get a high-quality steak. You know, and also, I mean, Golden Corral, I can speak for this. I think COVID pretty much capped them off. I mean, they're already downhill anyhow. And the meat that they were using was inferior, didn't have a whole lot of taste. All the sides were not that good. I mean, and they used to really be good. Golden Corral used to be a decent place. Remember when that was a good place?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they pretty much don't have any of them anymore. And, yeah. I mean, it's just a part of yesteryear we'll never get back, you know.
Right.
I think Bonanza used to give away stuff to kids, too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Little rings.
We have Ponderosa right there in Truman Corners.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that
and
one.
And that's where we used to go. But we would until, go to Bonanza every now and then.
Until Harry T's came up. Remember Harry T's? Harry T's ran them all off. Yep.
Oh, do you remember Duff's out in Blue Springs?
Yeah, I sure do. Yep.
Oh, God, dude. That was the best food.
I got one for you. The Gold Buffet.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, those are good, too. What was the one? The one in Stanley, Kansas that looked like a barn? Damn it. It looked like a barn. And you go in there and
now you're going way back.
It was a buffet that's like, I tell you, it's like 10 miles long. They had everything from crab legs to meatloaf to spinach. I mean, it was just amazing, that buffet.
How about Wild Woody's?
Wild Woody's, yeah. Wild Woody's was kicking
ass. That was an all-day shopping trip with the family.
Fuck yeah. That was the first Buc-ee's Really?
Yeah, really?
Well, yeah,
I don't know what Bucky. I've never been.
Okay.
I don't know what Bucky is.
They're not the first Buckies, but I think the idea might have came from something like a Wild Woodies, where you have everything under the sun and gas.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool, man. let's see. And then, didn't Red X take over? Red X is still up there, where Wild Woodies used to be in one location, I believe. So.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, anyhow, are you ready to cap this bitch off? You got to work in the morning.
Yeah, let's cap this one off.
All righty. Everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you, assholes. We love you. Have a good night.
Good night, assholes.
Hey, where'd everybody go? We're the douchebags. Oh my god, someone took a dump in the corner. Oh jeez. Ugh, I'm glad they're gone. Let's just hope they don't come back. Man, that smells.